ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 17. Shri Shuku Vacha,
Shri Shuku Vacha,
Iti, Lalana,
Lalana,
Anuyati, Anunayati,
Anunayati,
Visharado,
Visharado,
Gramya,
Gramya,
Vaidagjaya, Paribhashaya,
Paribhashaya,
Tang, Vibhuta,
Vibhuta,
Madhum,
Vibhuta,
Vibhuta,
Matir,
Adisabhajayam,
Adisabhajayam,
Asa,
Asa.
Sri Shuku Vacha, Iti Lalananu Nayati, Visharad, Gramya Vaidagyaya, Paribhashaya Tam Vibhuta Vadhum, Vibhuta Matir, Adisa Pajayama Asa. Sri Shuku Vacha, Shukadev Goswami said, Iti, thus, Lalana, women, Anunaya, in winning over. Ati Visharadaha,
very expert.
Gramya,
Vaidagyaya,
expert in fulfilling one's material desires. Paribhashaya, by selected words. Tam, her. Vibhuta-vadhum, the celestial girl. Vibhuta-matihi, Agnidra, who possessed intelligence like that of the demigods. Adhi-sapajayamasa, gained the favor of. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Maharaj Agnidra, whose intelligence was like that of a demigod, knew the art of flattering women to win them to his side. He therefore pleased that celestial girl with his lusty words and gained her favor. Purport. Since King Agnidra was a devotee, he actually had no attraction for material enjoyment. But because he wanted a wife for progeny, and Lord Brahma had sent Purvachitti for this purpose, he expertly pleased her with flattering words. Women are attracted by a man's flattering words. One who is expert in this art of flattery is called Vidanta. Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatam Pitam Stam Sativam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Pitam Stha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Taptakam Shanagaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Drusha Ghanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Gopatrubhyascha Kripasindho Pyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Shuku Vacha, Iti Lalananu Nayati Visharado Gramya Vaitag Jaya Paripashayatam Vibhuta Vatum Vibhuta Matir Adhisa Pajayamasa. The observation here is that women are prone to be attracted by flattery. G.K. Chesterton, in his famous advice to his son, advised him that if you want to win women over, then flatter them for their beauty, for their charm. And if that's too far-fetched, then flatter them for their intelligence. This same flattering tendency can be used in the service of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada wrote to Hansadutta about some politician who was a woman, and Prabhupada was advising, you know, what, how to present whatever case it was that we wanted to present. And then he said, and after all, she is a woman, so flatter her. There's a story also told by my god sister Lila Shakti Dasi in London. She was traveling in Europe from Sweden along with one girlfriend, and they came to London and they visited the just beginning temple there, and they were inquiring, seeing what was what, and Tamal Krishna Goswami happened to be there. So he was speaking to them and said, oh, you're attracted to Krishna consciousness. You must have been yogis in your past life. And she said, I knew that he was flattering me, but I thought, well, maybe. So generally, this men use this tool of flattery in order to seduce women, or in order to win them over to cooperation with their lusty desires. Say anything. This is a perverted reflection of the same thing as there in Krishna. Krishna knows the art of speaking very charmingly with women in such a way as to enchant them. But that program of Krishna's is in the context of an exchange of transcendental love. Yayatam am prapajyante tam stathaya prapajamyaha. The Krishna's business is to reciprocate the service attitude of the devotee. Someone is attracted in the mood of a servant, someone is attracted in the mood of a friend, someone with parental love, someone with conjugal love. And in each mood, Krishna reciprocates perfectly. he becomes the perfect master or the perfect friend, the perfect child, or the perfect lover also. In these dealings, Krishna's reciprocating the desire of the devotee to render service to him, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that same, and therefore it's pure, pavitra, just by hearing about the dealings of Krishna with his wives, with his girlfriends, one becomes purified. And the same thing in the material world is contamination. In the material world, it's a kind of foolishness. The man is attracted to the woman is attracted to the man, and they say all sorts of things about how much they love and admire one another. And the goal is simply one's own self-gratification. Simply one's own self-gratification. Here the commentaries are a little conflicting. Sometimes in this chapter we're reading that Maharaj Agnidra was bewildered, that he was lusty, that he was enchanted. And here we read that, well, he was simply saying these things out of a desire to render devotional service in fulfillment of the role destined for him. We find this happening a lot in Srimad Bhagavatam, that we read sometimes one thing and sometimes another thing, and they seem to conflict. In commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada sometimes takes from different acharyas. One acharya will look at it one way, another acharya will look at it another way. Or sometimes the same acharya may look at it both ways, three ways, or however many. Because the same pastime or the same history can be instructive to us in different ways. In general, this history of Maharaj Agnidra is instructive in showing us how strong this attraction is in the material world of man for woman, woman for a man. Even though Maharaj Agnidra was a great king, a great hero, he was performing austerities also. He became attracted by this beautiful woman. The Mama Maya Durateya, the power of Krishna's enchanting energy, is practically insurmountable. Mama Maya Durateya. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapildev says, who can understand the extent of the power of my illusory energy in the form of a woman by whose moving of the eyebrows even the greatest conquerors of the world are subdued? One may be the greatest powerful king, but still, although women are called abala, weak abala, but it seems that they're very strong also. They're, from one point of view, weak, from another point of view, so powerful that they can overpower even the greatest conquerors of the world. And for that, a different set of weaponry is there that's described by Agnidra. Beautiful eyebrows, beautiful bodily features, sweet words, and so many attractions. So, and the nature is that, what is that described in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, Tadasya Hadati Pragyam Vairanavanivambasi. Indriyanam hi Tradatam Yanmano Nuvatiyate. Tadasya Hadati Pragyam Vairanavanivambasi. Indriyanam hi Tradatam. Tradatam means moving. Chadati means moving, Chadatam. Indriyanam hi Chadatam, the wandering senses. I think sometimes about these, you know, you see in these war movies, those little radar screens, the little round ones that they have on ships and so on, and there's a line going from the center to the perimeter, and it's sweeping across the dial. And it's going, and then when it spots something, it goes boom. There's a little blip, beep. You know, because there's an enemy submarine or whatever it is, it detects something. So when I think of the wandering senses, I think of that. The senses are wandering, and they're searching for something. And then when they spot something, then beep. Beautiful woman at 3 o'clock. And then the yanmano nuvidhiyate, the senses, when they catch on something, get fixed. That's the way it works. What is that? The Bhagavad Gita also. Jayato Vishaya Pumsan Sangasteshu Pajayate. The mind starts to think, to contemplate, and then becomes attached. So whatever it is, in the case of Vishwamitra Muni, it was ankle bells. In the case of Agnidra Maharaj, so many different features. Whatever. The mind starts to meditate, and or just gets caught thinking. The gestures of the woman, or the eyebrows, or the ankle bells, or whatever, and the mind goes there. Yanmano nuvidhiyate tadasya hadati pragyam vairanavamivambasi. And then the intelligence becomes captured. The intelligence is supposed to be superior, but the intelligence becomes pulled by the mind and carried away the way, just as a ship is carried away by a strong wind on the ocean. So the intelligence becomes, instead of being employed to control the mind, becomes employed in serving the demands of the mind. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that a cat has intelligence. The lower animals also have intelligence, so the cat has intelligence. And the cat wants some milk and sees it in a bowl in the kitchen. But because you're standing there, the cat doesn't do anything. The cat waits till you leave the kitchen, and then the cat jumps up and goes for the milk. That's called intelligence. But it's intelligence employed in the service of eating. This is the business of the animals. They have intelligence, but it's employed for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So the intelligence gets carried away by the mind, and then it becomes employed. So the intelligence, which has so much power for spiritual realization, for understanding the absolute truth, becomes employed in figuring out, now what should I say to her? What would charm her? What would get some response? And he's thinking. So that's intelligence, to say something clever, to say something that will win
the woman's heart requires intelligence. But it's intelligence employed simply for mating. This is material, the material use of intelligence. It says something, as movie scripts are made of it, novels are made of it, and in real life it happens also. It's usually better in the novel or the movie, but whatever. Some very clever remark or some very, strategically appropriate remark. So that it requires some intelligence, but it's intelligence for sex only. Now, this is the material world. The intelligence is applied for sex, for eating, for sleeping, and for fighting. Especially fighting. Especially all of them, actually. So much intelligence is employed simply for creating something to eat or getting something to eat. For sleeping, somewhat limited in how much intelligence can be employed. But they create a waterbed, they create an air mattress, they created this, they created that for sleeping. For sex, lots of scope. And for fighting, that's number one. I think Houston is big on that, right? They have various kinds of military industries that are based in Houston, spending millions and millions and millions of dollars, and great intelligence, all this weaponry. Now they've got little drones that are the size of a sparrow, and they fly in swarms, and they take pictures and videos and so on, so the intelligence that goes on in devising these things is enormous. But the business is just fighting. The same thing that the cats and dogs are doing, the great scientists and great intelligent men of the world, the sons of Brahmins come to America. They leave their traditional occupations as Pujaris or teachers, and they come to America and become employed in the service of creating better weaponry so that we can fight better. So this is the misuse of intelligence. And we become captivated, oh, what a great weapon, what a great this, what a great that. Or anyway, one's mind is carried away. Now I'm getting money, now I'm getting the favor of this beautiful woman, now this, now that. And forgetting the real purpose of life. Mama Maya Dhritya. This is Maya's power to take the mind away from Krishna. Tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrihita nisarvashaha indriyan indriyar tebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. Krishna therefore says that the person whose mind is, his intelligence is steady, person in self-realization, therefore has to control the mind from all sides. Sarvashaha means one has to be vigilant in every direction, because the senses combined with the sense objects is the formula for becoming entangled in material life. And on the other side, if the mind can be fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, then that's the formula for liberation from material life. The Bhagavad Gita, the mind is the best friend of the living entity, and the mind is the worst enemy. When the mind is bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmayavatmanan chitaha anatmanastu shakshudve vartitatmaya shakshuva. When the mind is uncontrolled, it's the worst enemy. But when the mind is controlled, then it becomes the best friend. So the chanting of Hare Krishna, the practice of Krishna consciousness, is the means for controlling the mind, not artificially by stopping it, but by placing the mind always at the lotus feet of Krishna, so that the mind will be purified, so that one will be attracted to the reality and be unaffected by the power of the illusory energy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Are there any questions?
Vidagdha Madhav.
How Vidagdha Madhav was written? I don't know much about it, except that there was... he originally had one drama in mind, and then he was going to write one drama about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Dwarka, and then Lakshmi Devi appeared to him in a dream. But no, you write to Rukmini Devi, maybe?
Satyabhama,
yes. Satyabhama appeared and said, no, write two dramas. So then one became Lalita Madhav, and the other is Vidagdha Madhav. Yes?
Maharaj, you were saying that the uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy. And our main process is chanting the holy names. Can you give us a practical understanding how that actually happens?
How the mind becomes controlled by the chanting of the holy name. One has to focus the mind. Something from our side is required. It doesn't happen just automatically. Some effort is there, some discipline has to be there, some application of energy has to be there to focus the mind. That translates into avoiding the 10 offenses. Among the 10 offenses, to be inattentive while chanting the holy name. The practice is to fix the mind, Subhayamana Krishna Padara Vindiya, on the lotus feet of Krishna, or there's no difference between the lotus feet of Krishna and the holy name of Krishna. One doesn't have to separately try to fix the picture of Krishna's lotus feet in one's mind. One is advised simply to chant the holy name and fix one's mind on the sound vibration. And the sound vibration is very powerful. By our own effort to get out of the material energy is very difficult, practically impossible. Maya is empowered and we're very tiny. But mami viye prapajyante mayami tam tarantite. By surrendering to Krishna, one can cross beyond Maya. Surrender to Krishna takes the form of chanting the holy name of Krishna. And the holy name of Krishna is all-powerful. Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Binnata Nama Namina. So Krishna protects one. Yaha Krishna Taha Maya Nahi Adhikara. Where there's Krishna, there can't be Maya. Well, the practice is to keep one's mind always on the holy name of Krishna. And holy name of Krishna means name, form, qualities, everything is included in the holy name and devotional service. Is that okay?
Yes.
Something else? Mm. The Prabhupada said that spiritual life is like the razor's edge. One little inattention and one can get caught. So it's not such an easy thing. Oh, we'll just chant Hare Krishna. I will go away. One has to chant very seriously and sincerely. His Maya is very strong. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.